This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
We just had Aaron Boone, the manager of the New York Yankees, on. In case you missed it, check it out on the free Odyssey app. We could react to all that Boone had to say, but there is some breaking news here. Joel Sherman just tweeted out, the Mets are going to be without their starting catcher. Francisco Alvarez is going to be placed on the IL with his right thumb injury. Now, that's the initial word. We have no idea of what is going on and the severity of it, but let's do the math. Alvarez has had many issues now with the thumb. The fact that he's got to be placed on the IL, like there's only 38 games left in the season here. So if you're talking about, you would anticipate this probably going to be more than a 10-day stint. And if it is more than that, I mean, I would say that the season is in jeopardy, you know, with the way that he'd have to work back. Who knows? I don't know. I'm not saying that he is or isn't. All I know that going on the IL at this point with a thumb injury that's been a recurring thing for Alvarez, which has taken him a while to work back from, to a point he had to get sent back down to the minors and come back, this is obviously not good news for the New York Mets.
It's not. I mean, it was a capable backup, so that's fine. But, I mean, let's face it, guys. The Francisco Alvarez era has just not gone the way we all thought that it would go. Now, he's still young. He's 23. And he's gone through some checkpoints that I think that have hardened him and could really make him better down the road. But the reality of it is now when they first called him up a couple of years ago for that series in Atlanta, that was horrendous, moronic timing. And then since then, and they put the kid in a bad spot at age 20. Since then, we've seen some flashes with power.
Well, 2023, what do you have, 25?
We've seen some flashes with power. Then we've seen some erosion of mechanics, which he was sent down to and fixed. So we've seen basically everything with Alvarez. And the thing, the good and the bad, the thing that I like about him is his energy. Like, he injects this team with a little bit of juice. I mean, for the most part, Soto's fairly stoic. Most of their players are fairly stoic in their outward presentation. You know, Alvarez is one of those young guns who, when he hits a home run, he pimps it. He throws his arms around. He's just got a presence that I think every good team needs. You need that youthful exuberance. So it's tough, but they played well without him for most of the season, and now they got to do it again.
Yeah, but here's the issue. Number one, he's one of the leaders on the team. They've said that. I think it was Mendoza who called him one of the leaders on the team. Number two, they were getting nothing from the catcher's spot when he returned. It was him, Torrens, you know, Hayden Sanger, whatever, when Alvarez was out. But when Alvarez was back from the initial thumb injury, which, by the way, now it's, so this is what, the third one here? You're going back to last year, then this year, and now again with Alvarez. They were getting nothing from the catcher spot, so bad that they sent him down to get right. He comes back up, and he's finally, forget about defensively, I'm not talking about that, because that's, but that is a big factor here.
Oh, yeah.
It's important for him to call a good game, although you could say, well, the starters have sucked, so is that on him too? So I'm not going to worry about defensively, I'm talking about offensively. He is finally starting to contribute. hitting the ball the other way, hitting the ball hard, up the middle, three-run homers. Like, Alvarez was finally starting to contribute offensively at the bottom of that order, lengthening out that lineup, and now the Mets are going to be without him again, which I don't want to say put more pressure on the top four guys, but it makes the margin for error that much more less than when you have Alvarez. Okay, well, let's say Nimmo's off, or let's say Lindor has an off night. Well, maybe you got Alvarez to pick him up. Now they're going to need those first four and maybe even Vientos to carry them. You know, Mauricio showed some potential at the bottom of the order. You can't count on him to be consistent. Alvarez was a guy that was getting to a point where you could count on him to produce offensively consistently, and now it's back to the 10-day IL at least, and then restart it up again. I don't know how many times you got to stop and start with him, but it's been a lot in his, you know, three-year career.
That's why I've seen it all, man. It's been a rough ride. And here's the thing, because it's his hand, I don't even, you're not even doing any drills. You're basically inactive. Now you can do cardio stuff here, but in terms of his bat staying sharp and his approach and his mechanical tweaks and all the things, and primarily defensively up and down in Syracuse, but he did come back with a little bit of a different approach. You're right. When he hits the ball to right center, that's when Alvarez is dialed in.
Yeah.
And we've seen that a lot this year. I didn't realize. I knew the numbers were good. It's back-to-back months, a small sample with an OPS over 1,000. So,
yeah.
And again, you mix in that juice and that energy, and baseball is a draining, monotonous sport. You have a young kid out there who's vibing and, you know, has got a little Hollywood to him. You know, the older players feel that, and it kind of keeps them young. So they're going to miss him. Torrens is capable, but he's just not bringing a whole lot to the table with the stick. And now this really could be amplified even more because the Mets, with their starting pitching having been all over the map, I mean, really not over, just not good, not all over the map. We know what it's been, not good. They're going to have to win some slugfests and right. Some 7-6, 8-7s, those, you know, 5-4s or 6-5 kind of games. And without a guy who's been swinging a bat well, that bottom third becomes kind of soft again.
Yeah, that's the issue that I have. Just as when you were starting to get some length out of that lineup and consistency with the offense overall. Lindor's getting hot, Soto, Alonso. They were starting Vientos with the third home. The offense has not been the issue. The issue has been the pitching not being able to hold the leads, whether it be the starting rotation or the bullpen. But just when they were starting to get consistency with that offense, this is a blow. Is it the worst blow that they could sustain? No. Obviously, there are far greater players in that lineup, but Alvarez was an important piece. So it's twofold. Number one, it hurts them now, a team that's fighting for the postseason and fighting for the division, at least in my mind, if not anybody else. So it's going to hurt them in the short term. And also, you worry about the development of Alvarez. Like, I mean, how many years are you going to deal with these hand injuries and the thumb injuries?
I know.
It can't keep happening.
Yeah, and the worst thing for a young player, now this doesn't seem to be catastrophic, like a ruptured Achilles or you blow out your knee in multiple spots and you can't run for 8 months. But the problem is when you're hurt a lot, especially as a young player, you spend your offseason rehabbing rather than working on your game. And that just retards your ability to get better. It just slows it down. So it's not a good spot for him. But, hey, listen, I mean, there's a lot of teams. You know, Vladdy's hurt now for Toronto. Judge's been banged up. Yeah. Stanton is what it is.
It happens. But wouldn't you, from a career perspective, forget about the short term for a second, wouldn't you rather it, okay, well, it's a hamstring, and then you know what it takes to repair that, you get back. Or, yeah, unfortunately, blown Achilles, you're out for the entire season, but you repair that, you come back. When you're talking about hands, it's been a repeated issue here. This is a repeated issue. I don't know the exact situation with all the injuries, but we know that he's had a problem with that.
Yep.
When you're talking about hands with a baseball player and a catcher on top of that, that's where I just worry about, God, like, what's it going to take to, A, get back to where he needs to be, and, B, keep him healthy? How do we know it's not going to happen again?
You don't. And while he started to answer a lot of the questions, even though, again, small sample, last month and a half or so, you know, let's say, and I'm not as sure as maybe some that he's out for the rest of the year. I'm not prepared to say that. Hopefully they get a break here. But if he is out the rest of the season or he misses a big, big chunk and he comes back and he's not in the flow and he's not productive, now you go into year 5. Now, he's still young. He's only going to be 24 next year. But now you go into year 5, and do you really have the official answer on Alvarez? You don't. And the other thing, too, is, I mean, listen, if you're a surgeon, if you're a pianist, if you're a hitter, you need your hands. I mean, if this is becoming a chronic thing for him, you know, you talk about careers. I don't want to go nuts here, but multiple hand issues it could really sabotage what could have been a promising career.
You know, it made me think of something. You said penis there. Did you watch the Billy Joel doc? We did.
Oh, right? Yeah, phenomenal.
How he got into the motorcycle accident and lost movement in his wrist. And I'm thinking, good God.
It's the piano man. You better find another way.
Oh, I know, but he did, which is incredible.
Think about that.
So he made it through that. I mean, look, I'm not trying to call his career dead here or even the season. I'm just saying that it's a repeated thing.
Yeah.
And just when we're starting to get to the point where it felt like all that was behind us with Alvarez, it happens again.
Yeah.
It's happened more often than not in his 3-year career. So long term, I guess you'd have to have some concerns of how they can fix this without having to worry that it's going to be so fragile that if he slides into second base, it could happen again. Or you could say, okay, well, you can't go head first slide anymore. What about if he's in the spur of the moment trying to get back to first base?
Yep.
Like on a lead. Like,
or a foul ball off the mitt.
Yeah,
or
well, exactly right. Yeah, That's even more alarming.
Yeah.
So, but then in the short term, even if it is just the 10-day IL, which I would think that when they had the MRI, BT, if you're going to put him on the IL, it's probably more significant than just 10 days. But even if it is just 10 days, that's going to take him out beyond the 10 days because then there's the rehab that's involved in it.
I know.
And then getting him up to speed to where he's at. Like, you could be talking about even in a best case scenario, he's still 3 weeks from being, and that's best case scenario, being back to where he was now. I don't, like.
And then you're thrust into a pennant race and you're ice cold in terms of the mechanics.
There's basically, what, 5-6 weeks left in the season?
It's about 37, 38 games.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. So it's you know.
Well, I would also say that, can I give you the possible, although I don't really feel this in my heart, but until we get the absolute confirmation, I'll leave it out there. I'm going to give you the absolute best case scenario where it's more of a clerical item, and I don't really believe this, but it's a 10-day IL stint, but it's retroactive to whenever based on roster purposes. And again, clerical stuff. And he doesn't miss a ton of time, and he comes back and he doesn't miss a beat.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not expecting that, but. You hope that that's the case, obviously. We don't know, other than the fact that Joel Sherman reported just a little while ago, tweeted out there, the Mets are going to be without their starting catcher. Francisco Alvarez is going to be placed on the IL with his right thumb injury. Never a good time for it. This is obviously the worst timing, not only that the Mets need Alvarez, but he was just starting to get going. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. We started the show talking about the realignment. D-Rod is in Orlando, Florida. What's up, D-Rod?
Fellas, what's going on?
No.
How are you guys doing?
Good. What's happening, buddy?
All right, thanks. A few things. You know, I'll tell you this. I'm 52 years old. Just turned 52 last week.
Happy birthday.
20 years ago. Thank you, sir. I think we're about the same age, give or take, BT.
Yep.
Yeah. That's okay. You got 6 weeks on me, I think. You've got 6 inches on me because I'm only 5'8". So you got me there.
Okay. I got you.
But here's the thing. You know, 20 years ago when I was a kid, I used to be a comedian. But then, you know, I did stand up for about 2 years. And I thought I was funny because you do it for 2 years, you think you're pretty good after 2 years. But I was, you know, and usually people quit after 6 months or so. But when I listened to Aaron Boone's interview, your little conversation today, that's the real comedian right there, my friend.
What?
Yeah, a little bit.
Come
man.
On, I mean, D-Rod, go ahead. Tell why.
I love the guy. The guy's also about our age, too.
Yeah.
And, Yankee fans, you know, watch Donnie Baseball just like you. I grew up in downtown Manhattan. You grew up in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's pretty much mirror image.
All right,
but
why, D-Rod?
What is your problem with Boone? We're all ears. Go ahead.
One thing he said, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
He said, when he said, and I give you kudos because you pushed him a little bit on the lineup. Like, why are you changing so much? And then you guys went back and forth a little bit. And then he came back and said, you know, really, we haven't changed the lineup that much. And I'm like, are you kidding me? You change the lineup every day? Every day there's a different lineup. I think there's maybe 3 games in a row that they had the same lineup. And everyone was like, wow, look, there's the same lineup for 3 days in a row. And everyone made a big deal out of it. And it's not what he said, but how he said it. You know, and he said it like, how can you question this? Like, you know, like Sal, like, what? How can you push back on this? And I think that's this whole analytical thing where, you know, and I understand that Boone is sort of, you know, when he took the job, he knew what he was getting himself into. He knew he was going to be, you know, the front man, you know, spokesman. And it's a rock and a hard place. He has to be, you know, he's got to say, listen, I'm the one that put Cortez in game one. Right. Because if he doesn't say that, he loses all credibility and all power because he can't say, listen, the nerds tell me to do this. So, you know, I understand that part. But then but when you push back on stuff like that, it's just bad, guys.
Well, think about this, and thanks for the call. Appreciate it. So I couldn't...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360. They can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto, while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
The Cortez decision drove me absolutely bonkers, and you know I let it go the next day, and I said that, right? So I'm not here to exonerate Aaron Boone for mistakes that I don't agree with and did not agree with in real time, but I do think that one of the things, and I'd like to see some more line of consistency. I'm not saying that I don't, please, but I think a couple of things has made it hard for him to do that. Number one, the issue with Anthony Volpe. If Anthony Volpe was what the Yankees thought he would be when they drafted him in the first round, I think that solves the top of the lineup revolving door, number one. Number two, you know, the Stanton injuries, the Judge injury this year, now they went from having no lefties to having almost an overabundance of lefties. Again, I'm not exonerating him of everything, but I do think that there's context there with the constant shifting of lineups. And I remember we did this with Hoff a year ago, and yeah. I think the Mets had more. Like, right. It's not like the Yankees do this and nobody else does. It's pretty prevalent throughout baseball.
No, but my issue, and that's why I was focused on the first four, like, you know what it's going to be for the Mets. You could move them on occasion because guys are struggling. Lindor, Soto, Alonso, Nimmo. They have had Nimmo in there at three, but you get the point. Mm-hmm. It's those four. With the Yankees, their top four changes. And remember, Boone told us on the air on opening day at the stadium that Aaron Judge prefers to be the three hitter.
Yeah, so he did say that.
If you have Judge prefer, so I don't know, it's had an issue, whatever, but I was questioning this on opening day, like, there should at least be the set top of the order. And now I feel like because of the emergence of Ben Rice, they have it. I don't care that it's two lefties. I don't care. That's where we defer, where we have the difference.
Yep.
where it should be Grisham, Rice, Judge, Bellinger, Stanton. Like, you have enough balance there. Jazz behind him. What, so in one spot it's Grisham and Rice? Is Rice not good against lefties you don't trust? I don't care who's pitching. I trust Ben Rice in that spot. So he doesn't, I shouldn't say he doesn't trust him, but analytically they want to go lefty, righty, lefty, righty, lefty. So to do that, you have to move Judge up to two, move Rice down,
get
and then move Bellinger
there
up. Yeah, that's where we differ, where I would look at the top of the order and just say, dude, it's working. Grisham, Rice, Judge, Bellinger, Stanton, assuming when he comes back and no Dominguez in the lineup.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see from this team.
Okay, I got you, but I would say, well, how much is it really working? Just because they won a couple of games against a bad Cardinals team, this is like, I mean, they've been playing horrendously before that.
No, but,
so how much was it really working?
But that's not the lineup that's been intact the whole time. It's been intact now.
I know, but they've had success with other lineups that we have not seen for a while, and I guess you could push back on that as well. But see, the lefty-lefty thing, I actually hate. I think that they poison the minds of young hitters. Like, they almost get it in their head. You're a lefty hitter. You're not going to have success against a lefty pitcher. I think that that's nonsense. I think it's very challenging when a baseball as a lefty is starting behind your head or your ear, and then it breaks into the strike zone. It's hard to keep that front shoulder locked in. It's not easy, but some good major leaguers could do it. But Grisham is not a 255 hitter. He's doing that this year. Grisham is playing above his head.
Right.
And so if you have lefty-lefty in Grisham and Rice, and I love Rice and I like Grisham this year, I do think you leave yourself vulnerable against elite lefty relievers. So it might seem inconsistent or even bad when the lineups come out, but in the middle of the game when the opponent makes their move, it makes more sense than it does when the lineups first come out.
Analytically.
Not just analytically.
No, it's Ben Rice. Who are you going to replace Ben Rice with?
Well, it depends who's pitching, though,
Ben,
Sal.
Well, okay, in their minds, if I believe in Ben Rice as an offensive player, it doesn't matter who's pitching. I want Ben Rice up because he could do more damage than Paul Goldschmidt. Now, if they're going to say, well, no.
Not against a lefty, can't.
Well, then Ben Rice is not the offensive player that I think he is.
No, but Goldschmidt just happens to be a great right-handed hitter against lefties. Yeah. He's not very good against righties, whereas Ben Rice is learning the game still and very prominent. I don't love Goldschmidt, but I'd rather have Goldschmidt up against a lefty than Ben Rice right now in his development.
If I'm an opponent, I'd rather pitch to Goldschmidt in the two-hole or whatever. Goldschmidt's not in the two-hole tonight. They moved Aaron Judge up. I fear more the lineup that has Grisham, Rice, Judge, Bellinger, Stanton. Jazz behind him. Where's the breath in there? There isn't. Lefty, righty, I don't care. There isn't. So that was my whole point of it. I understand why he's saying. I was just saying, are you going to continue to be a slave to the data and analytics even when you have a guy with Rice who can be the hitter in front of Judge and have that potent top three, and again, even extended more so than they had last year because it's much deeper with Bellinger and then Stanton behind him, with Jazz behind him. And the answer is, yeah, they are going to be slave to the numbers and matchups and lefty-righty stuff.
I think it's very easy to look at a lineup and rip it apart and look at it from the beginning of the game and ignore what's going to happen middle, late.
But you don't know what's going to happen middle,
late. I understand that, but you've got to be in a situation that you're prepared to deal. Because, Sal, part of managing is knowing, number one, all right, what team, the Rays, what do they have lefty-wise out of the pen? They got a couple of good ones.
So what?
So what?
Yeah.
So you want to line up your bullets in a position to deal with that in the middle frames. That's baseball.
No, that's analytics.
Well, that's how I would do it.
That's analytics.
That's how I would do it. Now, if you tell
at the top of your order, you want to tell me 5, 6, 7, 8, 9? Sure.
And you know,
the top of your order?
I prefer not to. But also, we're talking about year one, really, of Ben Rice, year one and a half. All this is year three of Ben Rice, it's different. Like, Wade Boggs against a lefty didn't mean anything. Mattingly lefty, Keith lefty, Gwynn lefty, Brett lefty, nothing. But he's still learning the game. And Grisham is still very capable of going 0 for 20 or 1 for 23. And let's not make Trent Grisham out to be Ricky.
Yeah,
but he's sloppy.
Yeah, but he's had a great year.
I know but that can go. That's not who he's been.
So then, to me, the big issue is if you're saying that, well, there's some question marks about Grisham and Rice, which are fair, then they're not good enough.
Because, well, that's what I've been pretty much saying all year.
But then that to me is the problem, because you can have that throughout the lineup or throughout all lineup. You can't have that with the top three guys. You shouldn't be having your top three guys being so, well, yeah, this is he's a leadoff hitter against this guy, but not against this guy.
I agree with that part.
He's a two hitter against this guy, but not this guy. That to me does not make any sense.
And whose fault is that?
Well, Brian Cashman.
There you go.
Yeah, but when Ben Rice is performing the way that he has,
play well,
then why would you mess with that? That's all that I'm saying. And they're saying that because they think he's playing well because of the matchups that they're putting out there. I just think he's a good hitter. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. 888-808-1019, the number to call. We'll get back to those calls in just a sec. BT, haven't done any football yet, and yesterday we did a bunch of Giants with Jackson Dart and Russell Wilson and all that stuff. For me, the Jets' perspective from that game, now I'm not going to go nuts about it. It's preseason, and the way that game played out, it's not like you're playing your starters for the first half and all that stuff. But there are issues, dating back to when I was watching Justin Fields in his rookie year with the Bears, there are issues with him throwing the football. And the Jets are going to have to be a team that's going to have to, be a team that's going to beat you up front, which is great with the offensive line, and pound the football at you. That I think they could do. I don't think they're going to be a team that's going to have much success through the air.
Listen, if you think Justin Fields is going to show up and go 28 for 31, 31 for 34, even 19 for 22, high efficiency, then you're rooting for the wrong guy. That's not Justin Fields. He's not pure. He's not precise. His anticipatory gene in terms of like when a window's going to open is not really where it needs to be. So, yeah, I am under no illusion as to what he is and what he is not. Now, I do think that there's a little bit of a shade of gray, and this happens, and I understand why, but fans usually have a rough time seeing growth when a player's drafted prominently and he sucks right away. And that's what happened. He went to a bad franchise, Chicago, like the Jets. No offensive line for the most part, last couple of years, like the Jets, blah, blah, bad coaching, instability, et cetera. So his situation in Chicago was basically as bad as Zach Wilson's and Darnold's here. We know that. Now, if you look at his 4 years, and early on it was incremental, but literally year one to year two to year three to year four, there was a slight uptick in completion percentage. And last year was actually pretty decent at 65% for the Steelers. Why? Because he had a good old line and good coaching. And his touchdown ratio is decent. I say this not to bombard with numbers, but I actually think that the Jets are going to have more gash plays this year that equate to touchdowns than they've had in years. Because when you just jam it down somebody's throat and you run, now the safety comes up, the extra man in the box, and that's when you see a fullback who's somehow wide open, or a tight end, Mason Taylor. And we saw that fullback in the Green Bay Packers game. So I don't think it's going to be very pretty throwing the ball, but I think the Jets are going to connect on some 20, 30, 40, 50-yard pops that don't seem conventional but are as equally effective.
I guess my issue would be there was some thought that maybe Fields could improve.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't think he's a good thrower of the football. And while maybe there are going to be some improvements, you hope to tone down the mistakes. Like, I think Justin Fields, and I know this is a derogatory term as it pertains to quarterbacks, I think he's a game manager. At his best, I think he is a game manager. Now, he could be explosive with his legs. That's where maybe you get, well, he can't be a game manager if he can make big plays with his legs. But that only could take you so far. You need, ideally, the combinations. For me, I've always said that the running quarterbacks are most dangerous in third and long situations where it's an obvious pass situation. Defense has everything covered. Quarterback takes off down the field, moves the chains. That, to me, is where the running quarterback is most dangerous. Now, over the years, it's evolved to where quarterbacks, there's design plays and all that stuff a lot more than there were, 20 years ago, whatever it may be, when Michael Vick burst onto the scene. So it is different. And I do like Fields. I like his mentality. I think he could be a good leader. I think he's going to be able to make plays with his legs. I just don't think the part of his inability to throw the football with accuracy or touch down the field is something that can be taught or improved upon as he gets older in his NFL career.
I think that you could always improve on stuff, but I don't think you can ever improve. If you're deficient, and he is in terms of accuracy, I don't think it will ever go from slightly below average to amazing. No, right. I agree on that. Now, can he become competent? Sure. And I think last year with the 65% completion percentage, even though they were low-risk throws, I think that was the arrow in the direction of him becoming a little bit more competent with a good run scheme. Listen, again, Sal, this is a Band-Aid. This is a Band-Aid with potential. Like, there's been other Band-Aids where it's like, all right, you know that this guy's 38 or 40 and he's just about cooked and we just drafted this kid, but he's not ready to play. Like, that's a Band-Aid that's uninspiring. This Band-Aid that the Jets are busting out this year, it's very appealing and it makes a lot of sense because, number one, he's cheap. He's making $20 million a year, which on the percentage of the cap is absolutely nothing. And I know you kind of parsed it a little bit, but I don't see him as a game manager at all. Like, I think game manager, and I think a guy who's got a pop gun arm and is no threat to leave the pocket. Like, he's got a dink and dunk. Like, think of poor man's Alex Smith. Dink and dunk and very...
Poor man. I mean, Smith can make plays with his legs, obviously.
You know what? No, I know.
But I would trust him to throw the football.
But not like Justin. Justin Fields ran for 1,100 yards. I know, but 1,100 yards.
But Alex,
I'd like to see Breece Hall run for 1,100 yards once.
Alex Smith could throw the ball much better than Justin Fields.
I agree. Good.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I agree. I liked it with Kansas. I like Alex. I liked it with the Niners at the end. And I liked it with Kansas City.
That's why I kind of did say, well, I know what game manager means, and he could be more than that, but I do think as far as, hey, handing the ball off the majority of the time, that's a game manager. Running the football with the quarterback, that's managing the game. Now, they could have success with that, but when you're taking risk with him throwing the football down the field, I just don't, I'm not even saying the decision-making, that's a whole other aspect.
Mm-hmm.
That maybe can improve with different schemes or better coaching.
Yeah.
The inaccuracy, the lack of touch down the field, that's where I would have an issue.
I think it's going to kind of look like a college offense in a lot of ways. Like, you look back at some of these college quarterbacks, and it's very hard, and I don't mean the ones who we've seen recently, but think about the college quarterbacks who accrued these crazy stats. I'm going to take Tim Tebow. Take Tim Tebow or any other Florida quarterbacks from back in the day. The difference between the NFL and college is that in college, you're throwing to a massive radius of space. In the NFL, you're throwing through a keyhole. And through a keyhole, Fields ain't good. In a wider radius of space, with the threat of the run, he could actually be phenomenal. So, and the other thing, too, is, like, the game manager, sure, hands off, off tackle, basic benign stuff. You're going to see a lot of RPO stuff where he's looking at run-pass options. So I think that Justin Fields is perfect for this year, at least in theory. If it evolves past, I know we signed a 2-year deal. If it evolves past this year, that means it's going in the right direction. I also think it's impossible to change this Jets culture without a dynamic athlete. It gives you a starting point. Now, if the Jets can't run independent of Justin Fields, it doesn't matter what Justin, he can be Cam Newton as a rookie, it ain't going to work. But if the Jets run the ball the way I'm almost positive they will, I think the offense is going to be better than a lot of people think. I'm actually excited to see this.
NFL Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days. We all know that. But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. I do think if you're looking at the...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org/advisors.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Quarterback position for the Jets to be the saving grace of this offense, I think you're looking in the wrong spot.
I agree.
This team is built inside out. So if I'm building a team in year one, I would rather have what the Jets have with the offensive line and the running backs and the quarterback, but I'd rather be my strength up front. So the Jets are set up nicely where their strength is clearly up front with the offensive line, have two good backs in Hall and Allen, and you know maybe one we like more than the other, whatever it may be. Two good backs, they're different backs as well. A quarterback who at the floor should be able to make big plays with his legs, and a star receiver in Garrett Wilson. So I don't think they're going to be an explosive offense. I don't think they'd be taking a lot of risks. But if I were building a team or wanting a team to start in year one, that's the foundation that I would rather have it being built with, the offensive line. That's more important than who their quarterback is right now.
And think about how many times they did the exact opposite.
Yeah, I know.
Start with Aaron Rodgers. Well, we're going to try to throw it 35 times, but we got no offensive line. There's at least sensibility here. And I look at the strengths of the Jets, and on paper, one is going to be the O-line, which obviously translates to the run game, but also defensively. Now, listen, I know that they botched that play down. Good, very good throw by Russell Wilson. Sauce wasn't there. Q wasn't there. Jermaine Johnson wasn't there. I think it comes down to, really, Sal, in a nutshell, this season, forget about injuries because nobody could predict that. If the Jets can run the ball and they could clean up the penalties, I think they're going to be in a lot of games.
Malik Nabers, Cam Scadaboo are returning to practice today. That is per Brian Daboll. Also, Andrew Thomas has passed his physical and will return to practice. So those are three big names, specifically Thomas there, because the other two we figured would be fine, just don't want to get banged up. Thomas, I was unsure about.
Well, why would you be unsure? He's hurt every year. Right. I get it. It's a big problem. To me, Andrew Thomas is, without question, the most important and indispensable New York Giant that there is. When he is out, everything melts. He's their Jalen Brunson. He's their Aaron Judge. Like, Andrew Thomas is irreplaceable. He is a great, not good, he's a great left tackle. And when he's out there, they just look like a different team.
Yeah, now, a lot of him being out the last several years was an excuse for Daniel Jones, whereas even if Thomas is out, it's going to be a blow to the Giants. It's going to be a blow to their offensive line. I'm not trusting that they're going to be able to run the ball with any consistency, but they're a different offense than the Jets. They're built differently. With Russell Wilson, they're going to be better than they were, even without, let's say Thomas is out. They're going to be better than they were with Wilson than they were with Daniel Jones because, you know, Daniel Jones stinks. So, and I'm glad we don't have to talk about him. He's named the starter with the Colts. Good for them. That's their problem. Although I do feel like a good train wreck is always fun to watch. And a part of me with the Sunday ticket is going to be keeping an eye on what Daniel Jones does. I wanted to avoid watching Daniel Jones for so long on Sundays that it's going to be great to not have to watch him. But a part of me is also intrigued.
What, as the Flames? Was he that bad?
Oh, God.
No. I mean, there's like,
come on,
guys who make mistake after mistake after mistake.
Yeah.
And then there's guys who are terrified to unleash the football that don't lead to mistakes, but they don't lead to points. He was the second, which is equally maddening.
I guess there's intrigue there for me to just cement how awful he is.
Yeah.
There's always a chance he goes there and has some success. I mean, Daniel Jones did have success even with the Giants in a year where he was being more of a game manager and running with the football and doing those things.
So yeah, for sure.
I don't think
he's tough to watch. He's boring. He's so boring.
Nice guy.
A very nice guy. I'll tell you what, though. I think if you work hard,
you like that.
No,
tough,
smart
tough
guy.
Nails. Yeah, right.
Weight room guy. He can change his body. He's just not that good as a quarterback. Everything else is there.
Yeah.
I would say that to me, I'm going to ask you, what is Russell Wilson, what do you think he does best as a quarterback? What's it like if you close
throws the deep ball well,
How do you throw a deep ball if the left side of the pocket is collapsed half the time? So at least opens up for some shots, and with Nabers' speed, and by the way, others, not just Nabers, Jalen Hyatt, the guys that can run and get downfield, it just creates opportunity. Like, I mean, Andrew Thomas, this is not overstated. Andrew Thomas is not good. He's amazing.
Right.
He's that good
of
a left hand. This is massive news. I'm not surprised that he's coming back but it's good.
But if he weren't there, you'd have to have the quarterback make quicker decisions, getting the ball out of his hand quicker.
It changes everything you do.
And Russell Wilson, though, does that a billion times better than Daniel
Jones. Yeah, I agree with that part, too. You know, I don't think it would change the results, though. I still think it would be, Andrew Thomas's presence gives the Giants' offensive line a chance to be functional.
Right.
Without Andrew Thomas, they are Swiss cheese weak.
BT and Sal on the phone. Let's get back to some of the phones here. 888-808-1019. Jeff is in Oceanside talking about that realignment. What's up, Jeff?
What's going on, guys? I spoke to you before. Big Mets fan. I hate this idea of the realignment. Now, I'm a little older, 57, so I'm not ancient, but I guess for the younger people, I'm old.
Okay.
I do not like it. I think it's unfair the way the divisions would be aligned. I just don't like it. I just don't like it at all. I mean, it's too much. It's unfair. You're going to have these four teams killing one another when other divisions have, like, nobody, mm-hmm. and you get one team has a much easier path.
Jeff, I think that's a good point. I disagree. I think it would be fun. But what you laid out is sensible. It's less tradition-based and more competitive balance-based. Unfair to the Yanks and Mets, basically.
Yeah, it is unfair. I mean, you're going to have these teams playing 14 times a year.
Yeah.
And also, you know what? Sometimes things are special because they're somewhat rare.
Right.
It's two series. Depending on the year, it's four games or six games, right, depending on how the schedule breaks out. Some years they play four times. Some years they play six times. If you're playing 14 times for the next 50 years, it becomes mundane. You lose it.
Yeah, I agree with that, Jeff, and thank you for the call. But I do think that when you're talking about the division on the line, a playoff spot on the line head-to-head, that's where the other element of added excitement would come in. So he said he was 57?
Yeah.
All right, well, how old do you think old is?
I think it depends how you look and what kind of shape you keep yourself in. Old?
Yeah, like to me as a young kid, it was like, wow.
57 does not sound young. I mean, right. I'm not going to lie to anybody.
No, but it, I think in today's day and age, I do feel like it is.
It's changed for sure.
When you were a kid and like your uncle was like, oh, yeah, I'm 35. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, I know.
35.
I know.
Good God, you're so old.
Yeah.
And then
you
start to get older and it's like, wait a second, 35 is not that old at all.
Well, they also didn't shave their heads, so they'd have the George Jefferson going on.
Right.
Older people. They just dress more youthful. They look different.
What age do you think in 2025 would be considered old?
I'd say north of 65.
Yeah, I'd probably go a little bit higher than that. And I would like to be a harsher critic in this particular case, just because I think it's more effective on the radio. I mean, 58. I mean, that's freaking old. You hit 50-year-old. But no, in reality, I feel like people in their 60s are still not.
No, they're not.
Like, it sounds old, and it is obviously older.
Yeah.
But I would say once you get past 70, and sometimes even in the 70s.
I know.
You know what I mean? It doesn't feel like it. Like, 70 to me 20 years ago was like, oh, like, you're, I mean, party's almost over. I mean,
well, and I don't mean to be crass here, but you know, one's not coming to mind. But like, if you saw a picture of I think when I was a kid, I think 70-year-old, I think Mrs. Garrett from Different Strokes.
Right.
Now there's some 70-year-old women out there that are.
I know they keep coming up on my Instagram, my algorithm.
they keep coming up.
I don't know what happens.
They infiltrate Sal's Instagram.
It's Jessica Alba, Halle Berry.
He wants no part of them.
Women cooking.
Uh-huh.
You know. In clothes, but like cutting up vegetables.
Yeah.
With
cucumbers?
Yeah, dude.
Bananas?
Yeah. I don't know how it keeps coming up. I'm serious. I heard Gio talking about the algorithm earlier today, and I was thinking, wow, like I get some ads and stuff, but mostly it's, you know, women with strong upper bodies that are chopping up vegetables or some kind of fruit or cooking. Or
But you don't eat healthy? So it's not food driven?
I don't know. I don't follow Jessica Alba and Halle Berry.
No, neither do I.
Because it, like, to me, there's no point in doing it. Like, I'm just getting force of, like, God.
You torture yourself.
Yes!
For what?
Exactly. I'm not going to torture myself. I know it's unattainable because I'm married.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they are or not. I don't think Alba is.
Halle Berry is. You see the pictures she posted the other day?
Dude.
Did you see the pictures she posted the other day?
Yes, I did.
Which one? There was one where she had a glass of wine in between her toes laying on the sand like, screw you, David Justice.
You were saying last night you missed the ball games. What do you think I was watching? Halle Berry and Jessica Alba Instagram. I mean, yes, I did see the picture. I saw all of them. Jessica Alba.
Yeah, I know. I get it.
I was just going through the thought process in my mind I'm married, but if the situation presented itself.
Be careful, buddy.
I'm just being honest.
Okay, I like honesty. Go ahead. I don't want to interrupt honesty. Keep going.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
I want you to say it. I want to make sure I know what you're saying.
She happened to be a sports fan and was like, oh, he's cute on SNY. And I was in better shape and I had more money.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in her realm.
Yes.
And there was a possibility.
Yes.
I'd have to strongly consider all
options. Now, again, you preface this with you're still married. We want to make that clear.
I'm talking about all options.
Understood.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think we all know what you're saying. I think we all probably think you probably keep that one to yourself. Even if we know you ain't lying.
Anyway, I think like over 70 is old. 888-808-1019. The number to call. More your calls when we come back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
When New Yorkers buy a place with Street Easy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.